is 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Support for KKFI is provided by Kansas City Ragtime and Beyond, formerly Ragtime Revelry, presenting a concert of Gershwin classics interpreted by Frederick Hodges, music that requires virtuosity, precision, and suavity. Saturday, June 10th, 2 o'clock p.m. at Schmidt Music in Rosanna Square, 119th and Metcalf. Great parking and no stairs. That's Saturday the 10th at 2 o'clock p.m. More info and news of other events at kcragtime.org.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
There's no business like show. I know everything about it is appealing, everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere could you get that happy feeling when you are stealing that extra bow. There's no people like show people. They smile when they are alone. Yesterday they told you you would not go far. That night you opened. Stay on your dressing room, they've hung a star. Let's go on with the show. The costumes, the scenery, the makeup, the props, the audience that lifts you when you're down. The headaches, the heartaches, the backaches, the flops, the sheriff who escorts you out of town. The opening when your heart beats like a drum. The closing when the customers don't come. There's no business like show business, like no business I know. You get word before the show has started that your favorite uncle died at dawn. On top of that, your partner has parted. You're brokenhearted, but you go on. They smile when they are alone. Even with a turkey that you know will fold, you may be stranded out in the cold. Still you wouldn't change it for a sack of gold. Let's go on with the show. Let's go on with the
Hello and welcome to this edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hoag, your host. This is the Spring Pledge Drive here on KKFI, a chance for you to pay it back, as they say, for all of the great entertainment you get all the time on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio station, by the way. And that's why we come to you several times a year and ask you to please, if you would, donate to the radio station to for all of the great information that comes your way, all of the fine programming that comes your way, all of the things you would learn that you otherwise might not know or hear about. And here in the studio to help me for the first few minutes here, Bill Sundahl is with us.
Hello, everyone.
He is he's a big help. He puts together these fun drives for us because it's very important for the station.
It really is. It's the way we've chosen to provide the content and information that the community desires and needs, and the way that we can have that microphone sitting in front of you that allows you to tell people about the plays and ballets and Jesus, I can't even think of all the things that I've heard about just from your voice alone, just from one show on KKFI, Mondays every noon.
Someone pointed out to me just a few weeks ago that there was not a show in town that this extensively did things like that anymore. There used to be on some of the commercial radio stations.
There sure is. It's right here, right now.
They've gone by the wayside. It's just us.
Yeah. And that obviously the community needs that. Otherwise, we wouldn't still be here. KKFI has almost 30 years we've been on the air. And is my understanding you were one of the first DJs in this place?
Probably about a year after the station went on the air is when I began.
So 29 years, you've been awesome.
Well.
So thank you so much for really. Thank you. It's no small feat to bring. We've got folks in here from the living room today.
Yes.
And they're here to talk about the ballad of Lefty and Crab. And they'll get into that and tell you all about that. And you know, the living room is another great asset to our community. It's another nonprofit, and we support them through underwriting. They support us through letting us use their venue at the Crossroads Music Festival in September. It takes a village, I guess, is what I'm driving at. And you can
really
step up and call 888-931-0901 or go to kkfi.org. And we redid our donation page. It's mobile friendly. So if you just type in any browser on your phone or tablet or computer, kkfi.org/donate, you're right there.
So they could just be sitting on a bench listening to the show and they could donate right now.
That's right. Or another easy, more traditional way is 888-931-0901. And that is, you know, one of the easy ways. We've got phone volunteers in there taking calls.
We do.
They will be, if for some reason it's busy and, it rolls over to my desk, just leave a message, hey, I wanted to make a donation, I'll call you right back.
And you'll get to talk to Bill about
that. Yeah, how lucky are you about that?
The living room is relatively young as far as theater groups in the area go. I don't mean that as a put down. Or anything. Relatively young.
I didn't think it was.
But you need to get the word out, and we're glad to help you. That's why you need to call 888-931-0901 so we can keep providing this information about what's going on. Because there's calendars. There's some in the papers. Let's face it, the paper, the circulation for the newspaper, the Big Kenzie Star, down.
Oh, without a doubt. And that's, you know, those kind of things that make KKFI that much more important to remain here and remain in people's lives and be valuable as it has been for the last 29 years.
So, we are an asset to the community, and that's an important thing.
It definitely is. And we don't exist in a bubble. We have to ask for support because we choose to do that rather than airing a bunch of commercials that annoy you until you change the channel.
Oh, they are annoying.
Right.
They?
So we come to you and, you know. And try to explain why we are relevant and why we're important. And so we certainly appreciate your support. And thank you, Michael.
Yep.
I'd love to let you get on with your interview.
Sure. And, there are premiums available at various levels, and they can tell you about it. When you dial 888-931-0901, or I should say punch because who dials anymore? As long as you do it, that's the important thing. 888-931-0901. And as Bill and I have both said, guests from the Living Room Theater are with us. They are doing The Ballad of Lefty and Crab. They have a show coming up tonight. Monday is usually dark, so I guess this is an industry night performance going on tonight. Performances then continue Wednesday and Friday, then Saturday. No Thursday for some reason.
Yeah.
Then Sunday, then a Sunday matinee. Then next week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in the evenings, 8 o'clock p.m. on those nights. Saturday as well. And Sunday evening at 8 on the 18th.
That's
close
right.
It out. The Ballad of Lefty and Crab. And with us, Ben. Okay, here we go. Oxer?
Yeah.
He's one of the co-authors of the play. And you also do publicity for the Living Room Theater. And Brian Hunter is with us. He is also one of the co-authors. I guess there are three.
Yes.
Because I had co-author written twice, and I wrote it a third time.
Yes. There's Ben and myself and then Seth Mackey. And the three of us work together as a sort of a sketch, online sketch group, Friend Dog Studios, and we use that as sort of an umbrella for all the projects that we do together. We did a play at the Living Room for the Fringe Festival last year, and the year before that, it was the initial version of this show, and now we're doing a full-blown production of it.
Now, let's not forget Elise Palings.
Yes!
Plays the role of Lolo and other roles as well.
Indeed.
It's about vaudeville. People look back nostalgically on vaudeville. People are old enough to be able to do that. But vaudeville was something. The Folly Theater, for instance, in Kansas City, as well as other locations in town, was a stopping point for vaudeville. So guys like Lefty and Crab may well have played Kansas City.
Absolutely.
Right. They absolutely did. Well, and I'll tell you, I'm nostalgic for vaudeville, and I am not old enough to be nostalgic for vaudeville, but I love it. We've always had a deep affection for that style of humor and that style of entertainment. And so the three of us got together, and we started playing around with these characters, these sort of Laurel and Hardy or Abbott and Costello. There's a little bit of Marx Brothers in there as well. And we took those character archetypes and we just ran with it. And so what we have now is a vaudevillian musical comedy that tracks these two characters during the period where vaudeville was dying and film was taking over the world. And so we have two guys who have made this style of entertainment their entire life, and now they're faced with this huge industry shift, and they have to try to navigate those waters. So we have Lefty and Crab, and then an ensemble of 46 other characters, mm-hmm. I believe, portrayed by six ensemble members, and it's really just, it's a classic comedic, almost farcical style, with just a world that just flies by you with as many laughs per minute as we could pack in there. It's a ton of fun.
George Burns, I got to see. I was so fortunate. I got to see George Burns in person.
Oh, you did? Oh, I'm personally jealous.
Oh, what a great monologue that was. But yeah, he talked a lot about vaudeville, him and Gracie, but he had other partners. So I guess Lefty and Crab are also part of that. But he and each partner had a different name, and he would change his name. So he appeared on various locales around the country using a different name probably every time. Wow. Never his real name.
Marketing must have been a little different back then.
Well, he said he was Smith of Smith and Jones, and then he was Jones of Jones and Brown. And he was Brown. That was part of his routine, and I'm sure it was true. Now tell me about Lefty and Crab. What kind of environment did they come out of? What kind of performers were they? Were they slapstick comedians?
Well, the show opens with both of them showing up at a vaudeville theater individually to try out doing a slot as their own comedic act. A hapless manager, stage manager at the theater, mixes up the run sheet and puts them both in the same slot. And so then they go on stage together in a moment of confusion, and they try to do their acts simultaneously, competing for the audience's attention. And of course it doesn't work, and their acts aren't terribly great together, but they find that as they begin to sort of battle for stage time, the audience thinks that it's just the act that was supposed to go on. And they're very funny together, and they work together very well. And it's a mix of song and dance, and quick wordplay, physical comedy. It's really sort of a fun mixture of all the different classic American comedic styles that we could find. There's a little bit of slapstick. There's a little bit of what Ben said, some Marx Brothers, some Abbott and Costello, lots of different things.
And it's all presented through this filter that is almost cartoonish in nature. Like, this is not a realism type play. This is a play that presents the essence of what this world was or what it is in our fond imaginations. And so it presents everything in a super fun-loving and sort of quick-paced way.
As much as it concerns themes from classic American comedy in times that most of us don't remember, the comedic style of the show as a whole is sort of reminiscent of shows like 30 Rock or...
Yeah.
There's a variety of other influences that we have, but I liked what the Kansas City Star, I think one of the reviews said that it was sort of at the same time nostalgic and zeitgeisty, which I think is the first time that that German word has ever been adapted into an adjective.
Right. Well, you had to do well. As Mr. Burns in his monologue, which I heard for you could get booked for the whole weekend. But if you didn't do well on the Thurs, you didn't get the fry sat sun.
Right.
So you had to do well. So how did these guys coalesce to do well enough to stay on the schedule?
I mean, you know, a large part of that portion is sort of left to the imagination for the audience, because our story really picks up at the decline of vaudeville. We see a bit of them succeeding. But the thing that we definitely want to communicate, and the thing that I think we do communicate, is that it's not easy. It's fun when it's working, but it's not easy. Showbiz has never been easy. And it's like you were saying, you know, if you can get signed on, but if you do bad tonight, you're out. It's a dog-eat-dog world. And they're used to, you know, being scrappy and having to fight for their slot and having to prove themselves over and over, town after town, which is why when Hollywood comes in, and that's the new form of entertainment, they don't immediately shrink away. They say, all right, we'll fight for this. And that's kind of where things start to get interesting.
Yeah, that was, I guess that was the fear back then. Today, that would be entirely different. Comedians are fighting to get on these late night talk shows,
sure,
because that increases their bookings around the country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you could almost draw an analog. There are some similarities to the way that internet media has taken over from the classic film and network television. There's a few similarities you can draw there, and it's happened over and over throughout history. It's, you know, here's the standard medium, here's the new one. Oh no, what are you going to do? And all the veterans of the old medium are struggling to try to adapt. So yeah, it's fun to kind of go through. I know that as I've been writing, as someone who has tried to survive in the age of the internet and what it means to try to be an entertainer on the internet, I can definitely go through and find similarities that I relate to.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I was speaking with three. We really haven't talked to Elise yet. Elise Paling, Brian Hunter,
Huther,
and Ben Oxer.
Yep.
who are all involved with the Ballad of Lefty and Crab running tonight, essentially through the 18th. Some days off, so they will have a Monday night tonight at the theater, 8:00 p.m. The living room is located at 1818 McGee Street. The number to call for more information, 816-533-5857. And online at thelivingroomkc.com. Any of those places will get you information about seeing the show. And if you're a fan of vaudeville, if you don't know much about vaudeville, you might find this interesting as well. You get to learn what a classic vaudeville lineup was like. So, I'll have one of you explain it. How about Elise?
What a classic vaudeville lineup was like.
Yeah, what it's like. You had comedians.
Well, you had comedians. That. You also had burlesque dancers. You had magicians.
Uh-huh. Would that happen to be one of your roles?
Oh, no. I mean, that would be pretty fun, but no. I play Lolo Carmichael, who is a Hollywood starlet, actually. Her character is in the show, I think, to kind of parallel what Lefty and Crab's journey is like from vaudeville to Hollywood, and kind of the struggle about what will you give up versus what your passion is. Mm-hmm. What are you going to sacrifice for what you want, and then is it really what you want anymore? These guys have written such a great script that really drives that home in many different ways. But yeah, as far as the vaudeville lineup goes, we mostly see the vaudeville duo, the two guys, just quick-witted, scrappy comedy. It's really, really good.
But you play this character, this Lolo, this starlet, who who always had looked up to these guys.
Yes, she saw their show.
Entertainers, and then gets to meet them as they come into her world.
Yes, and I think that's what changes everything for her, is that she must remember what she originally wanted to be in show business for when she meets them. And then, especially getting to know Lefty, she, I think, remembers the humanity in what she wanted to do. So getting to see, she has a great character arc, which I appreciate a lot. Getting to see where she starts and where she finishes is a really fun part of the show, I think.
Lolo really starts the show and in a place where Hollywood only sees her for her looks, and how she can be used as an attractive face to put in films. But she has so much more to her than that. And as Lefty and Crab enter Hollywood, they're only seen for the basics of their appearances, and they have so much more to offer than that. And so as she looks up to them as people who were great entertainers and inspired her, they look up to her as someone who's successful in the industry they're trying to work towards. And they find this sort of middle ground between them that says, you know, she has some success, but has lost her identity, or it won't be respected by the industry, partially because she's a woman and partially because the studio that they deal with in particular is highly dysfunctional.
Yeah, and that's part of the comedy of it, is it's sort of you're surrounded by weird incompetence the entire time.
Yeah,
which is,
right.
Which is a lot of fun.
Weird incompetence that somehow makes a lot of money in this imaginary world. Not at all like the film industry.
I'm sure it was. Ben was talking about new media earlier. I want to thank Kathy Ellis. who made an online donation. So thank you, Kathy. KKFI.org is where you can go to do that, or you can call our phone number, 888-931-0901. Thank you, Kathy. We're talking with the Living Room Theater about their show, The Ballad of Lefty and Crab, to old-time vaudevillians. But it wasn't old-time then. It was modern times. That's the way entertainment was done. So it was right. Films. It was the early age of films. I guess radio shows didn't really come into play yet.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of interesting, is that in retrospect you would think that it was, you know, sort of radio first and then motion pictures, but it's kind of the other way around. I mean, the technology for radio existed for a long time, but as use as an entertainment medium, it didn't really become popular until after film already was.
The ability to capture video and sound came about before the widespread use of broadcasting in any form. And so then when broadcasting hit, it started with radio, because of course that was easier, and then they started to be able to broadcast television.
Yeah, and not to give anything away, but that sort of timeline is very much integrated into the into the story, and it's part of Lolo's sort of track there, which is something I want to make sure I talk about here, is these tracks. I want to hear from you guys, because both Elise and Brian are cast in the show, and each of you have like a primary character that you play the most, but then Elise, how many other characters do you play?
Oh, no. I think I want to say five or six, I think.
Five or six others?
Yes, and I think I have 11 changes, but that's between all of them multiple times.
Yeah.
I think it's wonderful that you gave us so much to play with, at the same time as giving each of us a genuine track for a character that we get to play through and realize. Lolo is a lot of fun. It took a while to find her, but I think that she's strong and she takes control of her life. I think that she has less control of it at the beginning as she finds at the end, which is my favorite part. But as far as all of the other characters, they're, you know, on for such a short amount of time that it's just pure fun.
Brian, how many other characters do you play?
Oh, I haven't counted. It's somewhere between 7 and 10, I think, total.
Yeah,
and there are times when, in the span of four lines, I mean, I'll exit, and four lines later, I have to be on in a different costume.
Yep.
And it's a lot of fun to throw that at the audience, because while they're watching those four lines happen, they have no idea that I'm about to come right back on as someone else.
A lot of the show moves at that pace where it's almost a magic trick. It's almost just a sleight of hand trick that you're watching for a while, which is part of the energy of what vaudeville entertainment was. It was so fast. It was so quick changing. If you didn't like what was going on right now, wait.
Stick around.
It's going to be something else.
Right.
So that's one of my favorite parts about getting to watch the show every night.
What were their hopes? They were thrown together unexpectedly. Did they want to stay together? Were they hoping to do individual acts at maybe a bigger circuit? What were their big hopes?
Well, I think that Lefty and Crab, their sort of backstory there is that they come together accidentally, but they each wanted to be you know, a vaudeville entertainer, and then they discovered that they can actually do that well together. And
very well together.
I think that it's implied, it's strongly implied in the story, that in their heyday, they did very, very well. They were one of the performers that was, or one of the performance duos that was doing really well, that was actually making a good living, that was playing the Palace Theater, which was like, you know, the place to be in the vaudeville heyday. Didn't really get any bigger than the Palace Theater. That's like playing Broadway, you know, for any standard actor today. And so, the implication is they were really living the dream, and the only thing that stopped them was just the economics of entertainment changed, and audiences just stopped going to that thing. It's not that they got worse. It's not that they didn't know what they were doing. The audience just stopped showing up, which is something that has happened over and over and over.
Right.
And it's an interesting question. What do you do then?
I bet if it were marketed differently, it would work. I mean, you could only go to so many movies a week, and there were not all that many back in those days.
Sure.
But you could go to a movie one night, you could go to a vaudeville the next night, and you always had the radio.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the whole show deals with this sort of dilemma between they are very committed to this form, this act, this way of doing things. And they're put in a position where they are forced to change, and they don't know how to do that, and they don't want to do that. And And then they, and then once they do begin to change, they find themselves slipping so far away from the thing that, that was sort of the North Star of their life, which was this act that they would do together. And the point of the show is to mirror the average person's struggles with, this is what I believe in, this is who I am, this is what I love, these are the people that I love, but yet the world is constantly pulling me in these other directions towards this identity or acquiring these kinds of physical goods. I need to have this house or this car. I need to look this way on social media, or I need to have my career go in a certain way. I need to be seen with the right kinds of people, or have a particularly attractive significant other, or just any number of things that can pull you away from who you really are. And how much of that is worth doing and how much of it isn't. Because you could live your life just, you know, exactly how you are and never change for anybody.
That's true.
But you'd miss some opportunities. And you could do everything everyone wants from you, but you'd miss out on living your life the way you want to. So it's, that's sort of the big question there, is how far do you go?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How far do you go and what your aspirations are? Mm-hmm. Can you limit that? Mm-hmm. All kinds of questions can be asked. When you got together to write these guys, was it based loosely, of course? And we won't mention any names on anyone
you
know.
On anyone we know?
Mm-hmm. We know these two guys named Lefty and Crab. And they are honestly just straight out of...
I mean, honestly, there's a... I mean, the parallels to actual performers of eras past are pretty obvious. I mean, you can see a lot of Abbott and Costello, a lot of they're on that archetype for sure. As far as the deeper aspects of their personality, honestly, I mean, you know, Brian and I have been working as a creative duo for a long time, and we started to realize, maybe subconsciously, we were like, you know what, I feel like I'm putting more and more of me in Lefty right now. I feel like I'm starting to put you in Crab. And that was a great realization, really. And Seth also, you know, our writing partner who's not here today.
Who plays Crab.
A lot of elements of his personality ended up in these characters as well. And that was a really cool thing to realize. At first, it was maybe this sting of like, oh, that's weird. But then once I did realize, like, oh, okay, I want Lefty to say this because this is what I would say, it just made writing it all the easier. So yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Pretty much. In all the characters that you play, mm-hmm. Elise, mm-hmm. any of them, in her other life, she works in musical theater heritage.
Yes.
anything into that characters of people you've met over the years?
Oh, I don't know. sure. I mean, I think that I was just listening to a podcast recently, and the question was, can you ever create anything that's not based on experience or truth? Mm-hmm. And I think the answer is no. Like, whether I know it or not, every time I perform or do anything creative, it's based off of something that I have, whether knowingly or not, synthesized from the outside world. So I'm sure some of these characters are recognizable to myself as something I've experienced before, but not particularly, I don't think. Does anybody?
Oh, I'm just laughing, thinking about some of the characters that you play. Yeah. There's some really fun ones.
They are pretty fun. Yeah. There's a character named Bananas McFoster.
Yep.
That is actually one of my favorite parts of the show.
It's delightful.
Just the name.
Brief.
It's brief.
You're on stage for maybe 10 seconds as Bananas McFoster.
But it makes an impact. It's an old-time like film gangster character, actually. And she does a great job in that. You play an older lady on a train who's just left her life behind to go explore a new one.
Yep.
There's all kinds of we've got our hapless manager.
Gene's in the studio now.
Oh my gosh.
And he just wants to say thank you for listening to KKFI. It's a really great station. You could support it.
Don't forget that number, by the way. 888-931-0901.
Yeah, I don't know how to use a phone, but you call that number, I guess, and then you give them a dollar through the phone?
Yeah, pretty much works like that, yeah.
Who else is there? There's so many fun characters.
Oh, we've got a fast-talking Hollywood agent. We've got like a sort of an aging starlet who leans into it and we've got a train bandit. I can't even think of all of the characters because there are literally 48. Yeah. But I highly encourage you to see it. We've got a really great cast pulling these people off under the direction of Rusty Sneary. Aaron Bates is our accompanist. It's just one upright piano on the stage, and she really rocks
it. It's a tall order.
Sounds like a lot of fun. The Ballad of Lefty and Crab. Two performers in Old Vaudeville. Performances resume tonight, Monday, May 5th at 8 o'clock p.m. at the Living Room Theater. Performances then on Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. This Sunday at 3 o'clock, a matinee in the afternoon. Otherwise, the performances are at 8. Then next week, a similar schedule, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, all 8 o'clock p.m.s, as well as the final Sunday, the 18th of June, 8 o'clock p.m. performance at the Living Room Theater, 1818 McGee, Kansas City, Missouri. If you MapQuest things, you need the zip code 64108, the number to call 816-533-5857, or online at thelivingroomkc.com. Thanks so much, all of you.
Thank you.
With us.
Ben Oksher, mm-hmm. co-author. I want to say co-director. I've been fighting that the whole hour. Brian Huther?
Huther.
Yeah. Okay, got to get an R in there.
It's a hard one. It's not an easy name.
You got three
name.
Challenging last
yep.
names today.
A co-author as well, as well as many roles in the show, as he said, and Elise Paling.
Yes!
Who plays the role of Lolo and many others mm-hmm. in the show. One of them has to be a burlesque performer. In the Living Room Theater production of The Ballad of Lefty and Crab, running through June the 18th at the Living Room Theater, 1818 McGee. Thanks so much for being with us. We're going to take a break. When we return, more to tell you about our summer fun drive, our spring fun drive going on right now. The number you can call right now, even. You could be punching right now, 888-931-0901. And we'll be back to tell you more and some more guests from the Here Now Festival when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM.
Freeze frame! Hi, I'm Russ Simmons with Freeze Frame, KKFI's weekly look at the newest cinematic fare at your local theaters. Lawrence, Kansas native Patty Jenkins, the director who steered Charlize Theron to her Oscar-winning performance in Monster, takes on her biggest Hollywood project to date with the highly anticipated Wonder Woman. Gal Gadot stars as the Amazonian princess who is among the luminaries of the DC comic universe. This crackling origin story shows how her rescue of an American spy, played by Chris Pine, led Wonder Woman away from her idyllic island life and into the battlefields of World War I, and, ultimately, a confrontation with Ares, the god of war. The production values are terrific, and Jenkins breathes enough humor and life into the characters that the nearly nonstop action never becomes too exhausting. Wonder Woman may provide just the spark necessary to revive the DC universe. On the other side of the cinematic spectrum comes The Wedding Plan, an Israeli comedy about an ultra-Orthodox woman in her early 30s who decides to plan an elaborate wedding in 30 days, even though she hasn't landed a groom. While this setup sounds like standard Hollywood farce, writer-director Rama Burstein adds some original elements, thoughtful and clever dialogue, and elicits a winning performance from her leading lady, Noah Kohler. The Wedding Plan also provides a unique glimpse into the world of Orthodox Judaism in contemporary Jerusalem. Also opening this week, Eddie Izzard stars in the British comedy Whiskey Galore, the story of a cargo ship loaded with tons of booze that ran aground in 1941. Captain Underpants, the first epic movie, is an animated farce about kids who hypnotize their principal and convince him he's a superhero. Kevin Hart, Ed Helms, and Jordan Peele are among the voice cast members. And Brian Cox stars as the legendary British Prime Minister in Churchill, a biopic that takes place during the days prior to the Allied D-Day landings during World War II. Well, that's it for this edition of Freeze Frame. Until next time, I'm Russ Simmons with Fox 4 and KKFI-FM.
Support for KKFI is provided by the Kansas City Parks and Recreation Department Summer Concert Series, Friday, June 9th from 7 to 9 p.m. on the historic grounds of the Kansas City Museum, 3218 Gladstone Boulevard. Chris Meck brings his own perspective to classic rock guitar, merged with lockstep grooves and girl group harmonies provided by the Guilty Birds. No tickets are required. More information is available at kansascitymuseum.org.
It is.
Welcome back to the Arts Magazine Show right on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. As you could tell from listening in, we are here for the summer, spring,
Fun
spring. it's still spring. We're going to spring into summer.
That's
with this
right.
pledge drive.
Bill Sundahl is back with us again. He puts this drive together, so it's probably a culmination of things. He's probably glad to get it going.
I am. I'm very happy to. I get the honor of asking for donations to KKFI. So right now I'm hitting a timer. At one of the things we do at getting ready for the pledge drive is call some of our local and regional champions. One of which is Mark Andrus, and he has agreed to do a matching donation of $125. So basically, if whatever amount of donations come in the next 7 minutes, then Mark will match that up to $125. So if it takes five donations at $25, or you know whatever. So, denominations they come in.
So you can help pick Mark's pocket.
That's right. That's right. We don't. It's like he said, 125 in front of us, but we don't get to get it until we can pile another 125 next to it. So we don't like to leave money laying around on the table here at KKFI. And then also we're here with Jeff Hayes with the Here Now Film Fest, or geez, with the Here Now Festival.
Here Now.
And he'll tell you all about that. And can you tell us just a brief, like what the Here Now Festival is?
Sure thing. The Here Now Audio Fiction and Arts Festival is it's basically just a big conglomeration of a bunch of different audio dramas that we kind of brought a lot of people from out of town, especially really famous audiobook narrators, really talented people, to put these audio dramas on. And it's really just about the art of storytelling through audio, and I'm really excited about it. It's I'm in one of the plays, and they're just going all weekend from Thursday through all the way through Saturday,
which I think is the 8th to the 11th.
The
is that correct?
To the 10th. There's something happening the Sunday morning, but it's more like a send off. Maybe.
Gotcha. Okay.
More about the
producers. So the Here Now Festival has been kind enough to donate a pair of passes to the entire Here Now Festival. And so we thought, well, that would be a great thank you gift for whoever puts us over the edge on this match. So if your donation puts us over the $125 mark and allows us to avail ourselves of Mark Andrus's generous donation, then you would get a pair of passes, which I believe is a value of $500.
Wow.
$250 for one pass.
That's
the kind of generosity that Here Now Festival is willing to give to KKFI, and we're willing to pass on to our donors that step up and call 888-931-0901, or they can go online at kkfi.org and donate as well. But calling that number, 888-931-0901, and that needs to happen within the next 4 minutes and 24 seconds, because at the end of this, that will be we'll close the matching donation port. You can always call anytime, day or night, and we'll be happy to receive your donation in the honor of Arts Magazine or Here Now Festival or any of the other great programming we have.
Absolutely.
Around here.
And Jackie Castile, I believe, is on the line. Can you hear me, Jackie?
I can hear you.
Okay.
I can.
Hi. How do you fit into all this, Jackie?
Well, I am actually calling you from sister community radio station down in Columbia, Missouri, KOPN.
Yes, very familiar with KOPN, yes.
Yeah, I actually I took advantage of a free workshop back in 2010 and fell in love with the audio theater professionals that get together every year and do the Here Now Festival now, and I'm along for the ride. And we could not do Here Now without the help that we've gotten from community radio stations. And we were born out of KOPN as a workshop many, many years ago. So I'm so glad that we can be doing this during your Fun Drive week and help you out with those pairs of passes.
Oh, sure. Well, glad to have you. Thank you for your generosity. What kind of...
Oh, I just wanted to say, Jackie, you're probably aware. This is Bill Sundahl. Nice to have you on the air with us. I cannot hear you because I'm not wearing headphones. So, but thank you so much for your work with the Here Now Festival and donating a pair of passes that we're using as a thank you gift for this matching donation. So, and there's 2 minutes and 45 seconds left in this pledge break to match Mark Andrus's generous donation. So whoever donates in the next Well, 2 minutes and 35 seconds now. That puts us over the edge. We'll receive a pair of passes to the Here Now Festival this weekend.
You need to start punching those buttons right now.
Get your rotary phone.
Yeah, and can I mention that these passes give you full access to every single show that's happening over the weekend.
Wow.
From Thursday through Saturday, and there's a lot of them. There's a lot of shows going on the entire weekend.
Is there a website someone could go to easily?
HereNowFestival.org. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to find all the different events that are occurring, and you'll be able to see all the famous narrators who are going to be showing up. And even there's a country singer named Casey Lansdale.
Well, go ahead, Jackie. Performing. Speak up.
Oh, I'm just excited about Casey Lansdale. I do a women's music program down here, so I'm really excited about that bridge between country music and her. She's now into audio theater and is going to perform a horror story. And it's just wonderful to see how those things all cross over. But again, we know that that is possible when you're in the business of community radio. There's so many ways that different art and things blend together. Just hearing Lefty and Crab, too, talk about that radio and broadcast and TV. This not only are we about audio theater, but we have a lot of podcasts. Stuff happening. We have a wonderful funder. Wondery has been sponsoring us the past couple years, and they actually have sponsored these passes that we're giving away and made that possible. They are producers of the podcast I Hate My Boss, and this is just one example of the kind of work that you can do when you really have a good chance of networking and gaining skills by attending this festival, too. There's a lot of hands-on stuff that happens.
Okay, less than a minute to punch those numbers, people. Just thought I'd let you know.
888-931-0901 to support Arts Magazine and KKFI and to say, thank you and keep us here into the future so that we can bring you more information about the Here Now Festival and the Living Room Theater and the ballet and, geez, any number of other guests that Michael has in here week in, week out, and doing the good work of spreading the word about the arts and culture of Kansas City. Obviously, if you're from KC, you know that there's been a huge boom in the amount of theaters and productions that are produced and curated here in Kansas City. And we're honored to have the ability to there's the timer. To spread the word about what's going on. So call right now and get in under the wire, 888-931-0901. And just ask our phone operators about the Here Now passes and what it takes to be the winner of those fancy things. So.
Or do like Kathy did earlier, KKFI.org.
That's right. I'm going to go check right now and see who donated. If you donated online, you might just have won two passes.
They may have.
Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you, Jackie and Jeff, for all the work you're doing in the community.
Thank you. I'd like to talk to my guests, Jeff Hayes and Jackie Castile. Jackie's down at Sister Station, and because she's a lady, well, I'm going to say Sister Station, KOPN down in Columbia. Your presentation at Here Now, Jackie, or Here Now, Jackie, I got to take the and out of there. I was corrected on that earlier. Do you have a presentation that's going to be presented at the Here Now Festival?
I am definitely an audio theater enthusiast. You won't find a presentation from me, but you will find me in the festival office at Holiday Inn on the plaza. If you are checking in, if you're picking up those VIP passes that you won for your donation, you will see me at the Holiday Inn, and I will get you set up with your maps and your schedule and answer any questions that you have. So I'll be running around part of festival staff. I got started volunteering at community radio station, and somehow I just can't stop.
I know, it is infectious, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
It really is. What about Jeff? Do you have a presentation that's going to be happening?
Yes, actually, I will be in the audio drama 1917, which will be held at the World War I Museum here in Kansas City. And, it's an audio drama, basically, it's kind of, not really, I mean, celebrating the war, right? But it's just 100 years, and
it is
since then.
100 years since World War I.
Yeah, and so I'll be playing lots of different roles, along with probably the most famous narrator audiobook narrator in the world right now, Mr. Scott Brick. He's going to be in the show, and that's actually going to be a free show at 1 o'clock p.m. on Saturday. But there's, I mean, that one's got, you know, lots of characters, lots of sound effects, and I can't wait to get started on it because all of my characters are from different parts of the world. I'm playing a French general, I'm playing an Italian man, I'm playing two different German generals, and the president. So it's going to be a really involved and interesting show. But also, I mean, I think the live theater is the most appealing stuff in the entire festival. There's also Audio Tonight on that same night, which is a big conglomeration of a bunch of short dramatic pieces. And again, lots of different audiobook narrators and voice actors that are going to be involved in that production, including Julia Whalen and William Dufresne. And it's really a variety show, a lot of comedy, a lot of drama, and they'll have Foley artists there, people doing sound effects, you know, by hand, also music. You know, it's a very, very fun. That's last year. That was my favorite part of the show. That was my favorite part of the entire weekend, and I'm sure it'll be the same this year. But
I'm sure it'll be too.
Tons of things going on. Thursday. Go ahead, Jackie.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to mention that Audio Tonight variety show is going to be at Bragg Auditorium at All Souls.
That's correct.
And it is like watching an orchestra. You have live music that's incorporated into the show. You have the actors, and you see how much they're putting into each voice and bouncing from accent to accent. And then also the Foley artist, and you see how these audio technicians are making it all happen at the same time and cueing people live. It is an incredible feat and definitely worth seeing. And again, that's part of those passes that get you into everything. Totally worth it.
Yeah, the passes will also get you into the smaller shows during the day. There's a lot of stuff happening at the Cinemark Theater, called the NATF Playhouse. There's, I don't know, 10 different shows happening over there throughout the days, Friday and Saturday. There's also going to be workshops for people who are interested in getting into audio drama and getting into independently podcasting audio drama, because that's a large portion of the audience and producers who are coming to this festival actually do independent podcast audio drama. And they reach their audience in that way, and they're slowly but surely building a dedicated audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, though, you know, podcasting has created a whole new market, hasn't it? You can you can hear things on your own time. You don't necessarily have to tune into Me at Noon on Monday or Maria, and I'm going to thank her in a second, who has her show on KKFI here at noon on Wednesday. You don't necessarily have to tune in at that time to hear us. We have shows on podcast as well, as Maria does as well, and I want to thank what a nice lady she is, Maria Vasquez-Boyd, who hosts the Arts Speak radio program here Wednesday on KKFI. I thank her for her contribution to community radio here in Kansas City. And you'll have a chance to donate to Maria on Wednesday at noon on her program. And you need to do that as well, as you talk to various artists from the community along with that. But we're speaking about the Here Now Festival going on the 8th through the 11th here in Kansas City at various locations. Jeff has told us about some of the locations. Is there a main place where they should go to buy tickets?
The Holiday Inn, well, actually, to buy tickets.
Don't give the price now, but you can tell them where and when.
Right. The Here Now Festival .org website is where you can, before you get to the event, is where you can buy tickets. But if you want to go to the event to buy the tickets, I'm sure that there's going to be a place in the Holiday Inn, which is a lot of stuff is also happening during the day. You can get your tickets there during the day, like at any point. And I think that the tickets are either, you can either get the full pass that'll get you access to the entire weekend, or you can, you know, pick and choose the times and certain shows that you want to do and buy tickets individually in that way. Yeah. Is that right, Jackie?
We also have some packages. So if you want to go to like five or six, you know, you can get like six shows for the price of five. It's something like that. But you'll come and you'll find me. I'll be at the Holiday Inn on the plaza, and you go right in the door. of Holiday Inn and to the right, and we'll have some banners up, and you'll be able to pick up tickets or passes and also look around at different, you know, it's kind of our headquarters. We also, in the hotel lobby at Holiday Inn, are going to have a really fun treat, because audio fiction doesn't just involve, you know, podcasts and your radio and your speakers at home these days. It also has this new place in virtual reality, because we have audio technicians that are creating soundscapes, and now 3D soundscapes. So we have a virtual reality demo called Curtain. It was at the Tribeca Film Festival, and we're going to have that set up in the hotel lobby at Holiday Inn. And it was born in a VR lab at NYU. But you will be able to get into this demo, and you'll be center stage in a beautiful theater surrounded by an audience of thousands, and you'll be able to kind of elicit reactions from them. So it's a fun way to see how that sound system works.
Yeah. Hearing things creates a whole new mindset, don't you agree, both of you?
Oh, absolutely.
Hearing it rather than just visualizing it.
Sure, because your brain does the work for you as far as the visual element is concerned, if the actual audio drama is executed properly and you have, you know, talented voice actors who can really bring the characters to life. I mean, there is that visual element when they're performing live, and it is interesting to watch the voice actors play these things out, especially with all the different characters they sometimes have to play. You know, one person has to play a lot of different characters a lot of the time. But if you close your eyes, you know, if you're not looking at the performance itself and just concentrate on the sound, it will all come to life in your mind. It's like reading a book. You know, if it's done properly, it just becomes this rich image in your mind.
You can imagine things with your mind that a television set would have a hard time reproducing. I mean, they could with blue screen and all that, but it wouldn't
budget,
be the same.
Right?
Wouldn't be the same. Wouldn't be the same at all. Do you have any comments on this, Jackie?
That it wouldn't be the same.
Well, the richness of it all.
Oh yeah. The richness of the sound.
Yeah, you can imagine things that in your mind much more elaborate than it ever would be in reality.
Oh yeah, and that's I missed Conquest this year up in Kansas City, but I'm a sci-fi fantasy fan big time, and there's a lot of things that you can do with audio drama that are going to cost millions to do the same thing on a television show or in a movie that you can do in your mind and with your imagination just based on the sounds that they make. Not to mention that it's going to take you a lot less time to edit.
But as a producer, definitely, it's audio drama. I've been producing audiobooks for four years now. I have more than 70 books on Audible right now, but I want to branch in to audio drama. I want to start using my skills as a musician and as a sound engineer to start, you know, incorporating sound effects and music into my productions. And since it's all audio, the budget, it's not even really an issue as far as I'm concerned, because I have all the skills to do those things. And being based here in Kansas City, it makes me so excited that that people are showing that. Coming here at the Here Now Festival and showing, you know, just how small your production team can be and still produce something amazing, something that evokes your imagination so much. So that's one of the big reasons why I'm helping out here, because I was born and raised in Kansas City. I love this city, and you know, I plan on keeping it as my base till I don't know. I have no plans to leave, really. So being here, being able to help out with this festival and show people the magic that is audio drama, I find that this is a great opportunity.
Why don't one of you go over the events again, at least the big events, as we have like 7 minutes left in the show. So the big events that will be happening, what night they'll be on, and well, I guess they can always go online at herenowfestival.org to find out about it. But
sure.
Give them a brief review of what's happening. What are the big events?
Okay. I'll take a stab at this one.
Okay.
Nightly, in the evening at 5:15 p.m. each evening, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we'll have narrators at Prospero's Books reciting Mark Twain pieces. This is a free event as well, and you can check out some really skilled narrators for those happenings.
Free pizza as well.
Yeah. Thursday evening at 7 p.m., our opening session is going to be the Innovations panel, which, again, is kind of, it's going to, William DeFree is going to help us start that out and kind of let us know what those different audio storytelling happenings are. That's going to be at the Park Plaza branch of the Kansas City Library, and that's at 7 p.m. in Truman Auditorium at Park Plaza branch. That's going to have Dion Graham, Simon Jones of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, back to sci-fi, and Robin Miles, who's incredible, Scott Brick, PJ Oakland, Bob Caliban. It's a really awesome time to hear what goes into making audio drama, audio fiction, and audio books. So Thursdays, you know, we've got some other activities happening. There's an after party. That's the best of audio fiction. Will be presented as well in the Holiday Inn Ballroom. Kind of just goes over some of the best stuff going on in 2017. Catches you up on it. Thursday, we also have a live performance of the Declaration of Independence.
Wow.
That's going to be at, I think I have some times mixed up. Well, Thursday and Friday, one of them is the Declaration of Independence, and one of them is
the Declaration of Independence is Thursday, June 8th, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. in the Truman Auditorium.
Okay. Well, we can't have two things at once. So there we go. Declaration of Independence. Maybe Innovations is after.
And if you have any doubts, folks, herenowfestival.org. The whole schedule is probably on there right now.
Oh, yeah. It's up there for sure. And Friday evening, can you share what's happening Friday evening?
Sure. So Friday evening, the Mark Twain is all 3 days. So that starts at 5:15 over at Prospero's Books. But at 7 o'clock, there's the Friday Night Family Fun, which is Building New Worlds. That's also going to be at the Truman Auditorium in the Kansas City Library. And that's going to be featuring Julia Whalen. And it's basically it's a little bit more for kids, but it also explores exactly what it takes to tell stories to a younger audience. Julia Whalen, and Dion Graham and Robin Miles, of course, will be there. The host is William DeFree. William DeFree did the voice of Bob the Builder, by the way. And then at the Holiday Inn Ballroom, there's Web Works with Hoot Gibson. And then there's another after party at the Arts Bar, the Uptown Arts Bar, where we will have a band playing. Let me look up the band's name.
This is one of those great opportunities to mingle with those professionals also. Talk to people who make audio theater if you're interested in getting into it, if you're interested in getting into audiobook narration, just kind of getting an opportunity to talk to somebody like Jeff or like Scott Brick or even, you know, some of our festival organizers that have been in the business for a long time.
Right.
That'll be a good opportunity.
Eddie Moore is the band leader. He runs a jazz band, and he's excellent. He'll be playing at the Uptown Arts Bar on Friday night at 10 o'clock, so come on over to the Uptown Arts Bar to mingle and to listen to some good jazz and have a few drinks with us.
That's right. The Here Now Festival is in Kansas City this week, Thursday the 8th through Sunday the 11th. Go online, Here Now, H-E-A-R, by the way, herenowfestival.org to get a list of what's going on each day, each night, what location. Sounds very exciting. for all of you as well. Lots of things going on.
I'm thrilled.
Oh, he looks thrilled. He may not sound thrilled, but he looks thrilled. And I'm can't thrilled. See Jackie, so she sounds thrilled. Are you thrilled as well?
I am. And I am super thrilled for that 1917 World War One performance that's happening over at the World War One Museum. That's
me
at
too.
1 p.m. on Saturday.
And it's free.
Be sure to get that time out.
Yeah, and that's also known as the Liberty Memorial, if any of you aren't enlightened as to that. That will be going. Hey, I want to thank you both for being here. As
thanks
we wind down the hour here, Jeff Hayes, thanks so much for coming.
Thank you.
Telling us about what you and Jackie Castile calling us all the way from KOPN in Columbia, Missouri. Are we simulcast by any chance down there today?
Oh, no. Being in community radio, I am recording us right now.
Okay. Well, very good. Feel free to use parts of it whenever you wish. Thanks so much for being with us. The Here Now Festival running this week, Thursday the 8th through Sunday the 11th. To get an idea of what's when, if you didn't write it down as Jeff was talking, go to their website, herenowfestival.org, to learn all about that. Thank you so much, both of you, for being with
thank
us here today
you.
On the Arts and, Magazine Show. Yes?
And big thanks to Wondery also for sponsoring those passes that we donated to you. If you wanted to find more out about I Hate My Boss podcast, it's available on Apple, Stitcher, or Wondery app for Android.
Okay.
Thank
thanks so much. We've got to run now. The number to call, once again, to support KKFI, 888-